This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
One pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence
Taylor! Every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, and welcome aboard. 5 o'clock in the morning, August the 4th, 2021. The voice may sound familiar. That's right. My name is Dave Rothenberg, and I'm back. And as they say, better than ever. I don't know if that's true. And let's say good morning to the only guy, the Cal Ripken of DCR. That, of course, is the great Chris Canty. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dave. It's great to hear your voice, and it was great to see your face on the Zoom call this morning while we were doing our production meeting, man. How was your vacation?
Outstanding. You know what was great about the vacation? We went to Lake George. I don't know if you've ever been there or know much about it.
I have not.
Great. Santiago didn't even know it existed until I told him that that's where we're going on vacation. So we go up there. We rent the boat. I mean, it's now confirmed. I'm a boater. Yes, I am. I'm a certified boater. Went around Lake George, yelled at the kids. Alex got nervous because I was going fast and it was a little choppy, and he got nervous and he, maybe we should go back. I said, stop it. Be quiet. Let me take control of the reins here and boat around Lake George. And we did. And at the end of the little boating excursion, he's like, Dad, I got to tell you, I had a phenomenal time. I was like, that's right. That's right. And that's what would happen. But the beauty of the trip was, we went away, and then I had a couple days on the back end to just kind of relax and enjoy the home life without waking up at, you know, the ungodly hour that we wake up on. So, Chris, phenomenal time. But that being said, happy to be back. Very happy to be back.
Open your head above water. Even though
we're in the Wednesday. I know you're not a big fan of the Wednesday. So, I mean, you're coming back on a Wednesday. I mean, I'm just saying, how are you feeling about that?
Well, here's the difference now. The Wednesday, really, for all intents and purposes for me, is the Monday, right?
Because
it's my first day of the week. So if I were in your shoes where I'm working a full, and I know how you do these 5-day-a-week things now, but if I was doing that, it would be a lot for me. And then the Wednesday would be typically frustrating, and I would probably be in the doldrums today. But because the Wednesday is like the Monday for me, and it's really, in essence, a 3-day week or 4 if you consider my Saturday show, I feel good today. I feel energized. I feel excited. I'm thrilled to be back. I am disappointed with RJ right off the bat, though. Right, and I don't know if you caught
what RJ said. What happened?
I think what's happening is he's in a way. I think that because he has the wedding coming up, there's probably stress. His home life is probably, you know, very stressful right now at the moment. He says to me, and it was very flippant, and I don't know if anybody else caught it because I mentioned it to Santiago, and he's like, oh, I didn't even catch that. He said, how dialed in were you? How much sports did you actually consume over your vacation? how dare he?
So you took that as a sign of disrespect.
I thought
as
so.
As if Dave Rothenberg wouldn't be paying attention to the New York sports landscape.
As if I was going to have to go through like the sports for dummies at 4:50 this morning, where he would say, okay, the Mets have been playing poorly, and the Yankees made some. Oh, wait, should we recap everything I missed, RJ? Like, did the Yankees make any moves at the deadline? Did the Mets bring in any players? I mean, is there anything you need to tell me before we start the show today?
Trust the speakers!
Well, here I am.
Yeah.
At 4 whatever in the morning before the show. This is off the air. Just trying to make sure all bases are covered. Trying to make sure my guy Dave has all the tools for success.
Right.
So he doesn't hop on with Chris, who's been plugged in. And, you know, Chris bring up X, Y, or Z. And Dave's like, oh, I didn't know that happened.
And that was Chris, let me ask you.
And here we are.
Let me ask you as a very involved third party. At one moment when you woke up this morning in the 3 o'clock hour and got ready for the show and did your prep work and talked to RJ and talked to me and talked to Santiago and all these things, at one moment did you have a second of, boy, I hope Rothenberg is dialed in and has paid attention to sports during his vacation?
Dave, I got to tell you, not once did that cross my mind. Didn't even think about it. I mean, when it comes to the stories and everything that we got to talk about, like, you're always dialed in. You always got all your bases covered. So for not one second did I think that you were going to get caught sleeping at some point during this show and I was going to bring up something that you didn't already know.
Thank you.
Didn't even
cross
my mind.
Yeah.
The Knicks are great.
I love watching this team.
No.
Don't play embarrassing sound bites from yesteryear with me. No, RJ, apologize. I think a full apology from you at the moment is something that should take place.
Well, I'm not sorry. I was trying to help you. And I will never ask again. You could be gone. You could take the next year off and come back, and you could have been on another planet up in space.
Well, you know what's so upsetting to me?
I won't check with you.
I'll tell you what's so upsetting to me. Because I'm on my vacation. I told this story to you guys in the pre-show meeting. I'm on my vacation. We're at this really phenomenal romantic restaurant down by the lake, and it's sensational. And I were sitting there, and it's, you know, five star and white cloth napkins and the whole thing.
Mm.
And I have my phone on the table on the ESPN app, and I'm watching the play-by-play of all the different games going on. That's the level of respect that I show to this show and to the fan base and to me as a sports fanatic, right? Just that's a way of life. And for RJ to say, you know, are you buttoned up? Do you know what's going on in the world of sports? Quite frankly, is something that's probably going to ruin the rest of my day. I thought it was very hurtful.
So you feel like he's disrespecting your work ethic by not thinking that you're taking the responsibility of driving the show as seriously as you should. Like, even in your downtime, you're responsible for consuming content and knowing what's going on. But being on vacation the last week and a half, for some reason, he thinks that you weren't going to have all your bases covered.
Yeah. Yeah, I can tell, and I know what you're doing, and I appreciate it. You don't want to go after RJ because you love him, and we all love him. But I think what he did there was just mind-boggling and shocking, to be honest with you.
All right, coming up at 5:15, what we're going to do is run through all the top 100 sports stories while you were gone and see which ones were correct and see what you can tell me about all of them.
I know all of them.
That's coming up in 9 minutes.
I know the Devontae Smith injury. I know Tua's looked terrific in Dolphins camp. I know about this Giants fight. I know Daniel Jones on the bottom of the pile. I know the God Rizzo. I know every pitcher on the team has COVID. I was at the Mets game when Baez made his debut on Saturday night. I know everything, RJ. Everything.
I thought you were at Lake George.
He's like the Wizard of Oz, RJ. He knows everything.
Everything.
Rothenberg knows all.
That's
Dave,
right.
Let me ask you a question. While you were up at Lake George, did you at once have to threaten to strip naked at any of these restaurants in order for them to put the game on?
No. Not one time. Because I believe that I have begun to mature. And watching the game, although I did get upset, a lot of these hotels around the country I'm finding, Chris, do not have SNY. So when I go away, it's hard to incorporate the Mets into my life. But no. It was fine because I've matured where we sit at a restaurant and now instead of having to have the game on to watch it, if it's on my phone and I'm monitoring the situation, I feel like everything is pretty good.
Gotcha. So you got one eye on that and then you can pay attention to what else is going on around you. I like it.
That's right.
I like it. That's a solid game plan. And I also feel like you need to be nominated for 3 stars just for your vacation game plan, because making sure that you got a couple of days of downtime once you get back so you can rest up and get ready for work. I mean, bravo to you, Dave Rothenberg. Well, that's the way to do it.
I'm playing to Santiago early on. I want to get back into the game,
I can tell you it's locked in already. Congratulations. It's 5:08. Congratulations. You're locked in for a star.
First of all, have you slept since I've been gone, Santi? You don't sound so good.
Doesn't sound that way. I'm battling. It's all good.
Boy, we have to be the toughest show going on, huh? I mean, RJ comes back from his big soccer bachelor party, and he can't speak for days, and now I come back and Santiago sounds like he's finishing up a bender, and you know, you never miss a day, and I mean, I'm locked in, dialed in on the sports world when I'm away. I mean, I'm a boater. Nothing gets past this show.
Yeah, I mean, the Chronicles are the guys behind the glass, though, Dave. I mean, those guys are getting it in, aren't they? They're enjoying the summer. I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing wrong.
Good for them. Good for them. All right, speaking of the summer, Chris, and we're going to get to the Giants. Absolutely we will. And this kerfuffle at Giants camp and Daniel Jones on the bottom of the pile. And certainly want to get your take on that because it's something I'm sure you've been involved with a lot of times. Chris, I have felt so good about the Mets and never really once had a moment of, you know, this thing is starting to fall apart or this thing is going to fall apart. Never once until now. I mean, they are, to say hemorrhaging, Chris, would be an understatement. This is an epic disaster what's going on right now. DeGrom spoke yesterday. I don't know if and when he's going to come back, although he made it sound as if that's the intent right now. The pitchers that you relied upon, right, have now not pitched well because it's another game from Walker last night where he's not good. I don't know, man. I am very uneasy about the situation the Mets are in right now.
No, and you should be, Dave. I mean, for the Mets not to make a move with the starting rotation at the deadline, knowing that you had so many question marks about guys that you were going to have to lean on in the second half, it just didn't make a whole lot of sense. And while you guys were out, I mean, that was one of the things that Gordon and I were kind of kicking around, the fact that the Mets wouldn't make a move, knowing that you're dealing with some stuff with Jacob DeGrom, knowing that Cookie Carrasco is going to be a little bit of an unknown, and then you're knowing that you're not going to see Noah Syndergaard until September at the earliest. So it's one of those things that's a little bit curious. But, I mean, watching Taijuan Walker's performance last night just drives that point home. I mean, he has not been the same pitcher in the second half. I want to say since the All-Star break, he's got an ERA over 15. That's not good.
No.
I mean, in the second inning, he gives up the solo home run to Alex Jackson. And you're like, okay, solo home run, that's not going to kill you. But the wheels just fell off in that third inning, Dave. I mean, he's putting guys on base. He's walking guys. Diaz hits the home run. And then Brinson has the base hit. And then De La Cruz drives in two with his RBI base hit in the gap. So it's just one of those situations that you just wonder if you're not going to get the same version of Taijuan Walker, then who's going to eat up those innings and how are the Mets going to maintain their standing just because you got so many guys that are dealing with things in your starting rotation. And that's supposed to be the strength of this team. It certainly isn't scoring runs. No. I mean, now last night the Mets gave a valiant effort and J.D. Davis and James McCann tried to mount a bit of a comeback right there late, but I mean, this team has not performed up to the expectations offensively, but the reason that you're in pole position in the NL East has been because of your pitching staff and namely the starting rotation, and now that's starting to come apart.
Yeah, that is crumbling at the seams, and offensively. And you know what? I watched the Marlins all weekend because I was very dialed into the sports world, Chris. So I'm watching the Marlins and the Yankees all weekend. I'm thinking to myself, boy, I've never seen a team worse offensively than the Marlins. I mean, you look at the guys you never heard of before, right? Like Miguel Rojas is the one guy you're like, okay, at least I'm familiar with him. But they
Jesus Aguilar, you heard of him.
Yeah, no, he's good, and he's had a great year. But I mean, they're offensively, they stink. And they can't score a run to save their lives against the Yankees. Yankees pitching staff had their way against the Marlins. And then they turn up against the Mets and, you know, Lewis Brinson. Every time they talk about Lewis Brinson, it's what a disappointment this guy has been.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He was in the trade for Yelich and he's come over and he's a monumental disappointment. So he stinks. Offensively, they stink. Yet somehow in the first couple of games of the series, they jump out to, I think it's fair to say, Chris, commanding leads over the Mets. And then the Mets can't rebound from it. Now we're sitting here and it's a game and a half over Philadelphia. Hemorrhaging is the word that comes to mind.
Yeah, it's not great, Dave, and it doesn't feel like there's any relief on site. Now, you did get a solid outing from Cookie Carrasco in his debut with the Mets uniform, and you're hoping that he can build on that, but I don't know if that's going to be enough to kind of save the Mets from the impending disaster that it feels like they're headed down, you know, they're in store for. It just feels like they haven't turned on in the second half the way that we thought they could, and they made the deal for Javi Baez, and we thought that that was going to provide a little bit of a spark to try to get the offense going, and that just has not been the case. So, I mean, you have every right as a Mets fan to be worried, Dave. I mean, the hope is that, you know, you're just going to find a way to kind of tread water, but I'm just not seeing a path as to how the Mets are going to be able to do that if the offense doesn't start clicking.
You know what also gets me angry, because I was really so dialed into sports while on vacation, is that they knew that the DeGrom injury happened. They knew that there was inflammation, and I'm sure you guys talked about this, and they knew that this was something that was going to be an issue for God knows how long. And the one move they made to help bolster this pitching staff whatsoever is 41-year-old Rich Hill. Now, when they made the move, I liked Rich Hill, and
I like Rich Hill.
I agree. Liked it. Yeah. But that's the move. Like, that's it. I mean, other teams are going out and bolstering themselves all over the place, and it's not a knock on Rich Hill. I like him. He's fine. But there were other starters, especially you knew what was going on with DeGrom, and you did nothing to try to help yourself as far as the arms race is concerned. I don't know, Chris. Another really curious decision for me.
No, it is a curious decision, and it just felt like with the team being in the position that they were in, it made sense for Steve Cohen and Zach Scott to kind of go all in on this group. Like, go get some more arms. Go get another guy that you feel confident in the rotation that can give you five innings of two-run ball or better. Go out there and make that type of move, because it feels like this is the type of group that's worth investing in, and knowing what they could be potentially if you get into a playoff series, having Jacob DeGrom, having Marcus Stroman, and some combination of Cookie Carrasco, Tywan Walker, and Noah Syndergaard. To me, it seems like it's worth doing that, because this team is capable of being able to go on a run just because you're starting pitching at the top end of your rotation is that good. But the fact that you didn't invest in this team and now you're seemingly floundering, and the best you can do in a four-game set with the Marlins is get a split at this point, like, that's got to be a little bit concerning, man. It just doesn't feel like they had the level of urgency that you were looking for them to have. And, you know, with an owner that's supposed to have deep pockets, it seems like this was the year, yep, this was the trade deadline where you could take advantage of opportunities with teams kind of throwing in a towel and cashing in their chips. But yeah, that's not what they did.
As
Mets fans, you got to be extremely frustrated with what they're doing right now.
Yeah, between frustrated and angry, I think is the appropriate terms to use. 800-919-3776. So listen, fill me in on what I missed, because obviously there's a lot that went on in the world of sports since I've been gone, and RJ's going to do that at the next break as well.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I thought that was a good segment, Chris. I don't think we need to rank every segment all show long, but I thought that was a really good jumping off point for us.
That was a strong start for you coming back from vacation, Dave. Really, really strong.
Awesome.
You should know, by the way, that Gordon Damer has renamed you and Rick DiPietro as the R&R boys. First of all, Rick and Rothenberg, but also rest and relaxation seem to be your top priorities these days, as you guys have been taking so much time off.
Well,
just say, I'm just putting that out
there. No, and I understand that. And I heard yesterday as I'm driving around a promo of you guys making fun of us, saying Kawhi Leonard and his load management makes fun of the amount of time that we take off. But let me ask you this. We have certain days that we're allowed to take in contractually, right? Like, we get X amount of days. From September through the end of June, I took not one day. And saved it all because I'm pushed in that direction by management, took it all and are taking it currently all during the summer. So that's frowned upon.
Take it.
I don't understand what I'm. Am I not supposed to take my allotted vacation? Direct me, Chris, what I'm supposed to do.
No, you're supposed to take your time off, Dave. I mean, around here, if you don't use them, you lose them. So it just makes sense. But at the same time, you know, Gordon Damer just felt like you guys taking all of this time off all at once. I don't know. Just seems a little bit strange. That's all. He was just pointing it out. I co-signed it. Not sure exactly why I decided to go down that road with him. But yeah, I mean, I missed you guys. And I guess that was my way of lashing out, just kind of having a laugh at your expense with Gordon Damer.
You're like the little child. And certainly nothing little about you, but I mean, in just comparison's sake, you're the kid who's so attached to the parents, and then the parents go, you know, away for a couple nights and leave the kid with the grandparent or a babysitter, and you're angry at the parent. I understand what's happening, and I respect it. I respect the hell out of it, Chris. I really do.
I'm glad you're back, Dave. I'm glad you're back.
All right, so we can go in one of two directions. We can hear from Luis Rojas, who's always entertaining, or we can get to some of the calls. I'll let you choose. Rojas calls.
Let's hear from Rojas.
Okay. All right.
Here's I want to Luis hear him Rojas, explain what's been happening.
Who did not get to stay and involve himself in the entirety of the game last night, got thrown out late stages of the game. Here is Rojas. Is there a sense of urgency with this club right now?
I mean, you can't. Yeah. You can't do anything different than what you've done when you know your team and when the team knows his identity. We do got to put work in our with our hitters, I think, and We gotta make sure that they're going into the game ready. They're more aggressive in zone rather than expanding. Like, I think those are the things that we gotta fix right now.
I don't know. That's not the answer I'm looking for. I mean, the question was, is there a sense of urgency? And that's the answer. Chris, offensively, they're dreadful. And they've been dreadful all year long. Conforto is probably costing himself tens of millions of dollars this season. Offensively, they stink, Chris. They're awful.
Yeah, they're not very good, Dave. I want to say they're next to last in runs scored on the season, right in front of the Pittsburgh Pirates. And we both know that that's not where you want to be, but somehow this team has found a way to be at the top of the division. Now, with the offense, like, there are reasons why they've been bad. I mean, we could point to what happened in the first half with all of the guys missing time due to injuries, but, I mean, there really is no excuse right now, Dave. I mean, your lineup is pretty much intact, and yet they're still not finding a way to be able to score runs. And to make matters worse, you're losing games to the Miami Marlins, which is one of the worst teams in baseball.
That's the cleanup team, right? You play the Marlins, you win three out of four. Those are the get-yourself-right
games.
You got
to get fat on these teams, Dave. Teams that are this bad. I mean, the Marlins are, what, 15 games below 500? You got to win a bunch of those games on the season. Right now, the Mets record against the Marlins is 2-5.
Ugh.
I mean, that's not exactly what you're looking for. So, I mean, for a team that seems like they should be able to take control of their playoff fate, that's not the type of results that you should have against one of the worst squads in baseball, but that's where the Mets find themselves. And it's frustrating. It's got to be frustrating as a Mets fan, because this is a series that you should absolutely win. This is a series where you look to try to bounce back and build some momentum before you go into that set that you have with the Phillies this weekend, the team that's on your heels. But no, that's not what the Mets are doing in South Florida. Coming off of a weekend where the Yankees pummeled the Marlins, you guys decide you want to drop the first two. It's disgusting. It's not what you're looking for. It's not what you want. And then to make it matters worse, the strength of the team, the starting pitching, which you chose not to address in a significant way before the trade deadline, has been the thing that has faltered the first couple of games. Tyler McGill in the first game against the Marlins,
yep,
and now Taijuan Walker last night.
Against a lineup that you almost can't help but shutting down, and the Yankees did it all weekend long. More from Luis Rojas. Here he is on Taijuan Walker's start from last night.
As far as his stuff, I like the stuff I was. I mean, he almost gave us six innings, even though he made those mistakes. So, you know, we want to see him having that stuff and probably finishing pitches better or selecting pitches better against certain hitters. But overall, I think the stuff is there, and he's going to play for us moving forward.
I mean, Dave, you could play the bite that he had from the last Taijuan Walker start, and it's the exact same thing verbatim. Oh, the stuff is there, but it's pitch selections. How about this? How about Taijuan Walker throw a pitch that stays in the ballpark? How about let's start with just doing that? I don't understand it. It's maddening to keep hearing the same thing over and over again. He's not giving you any explanation. He's just giving you lip service, and he's trying to make an excuse as to why their all-star pitcher is a gas can. I don't like it. I don't like anything that I'm hearing from Rojas, and I don't like anything that I'm watching from the Mets right now.
Now, I don't know how you could. I really don't, and I'm annoyed as all heck, and it's not the way that I thought I'd come back from vacation. Let's get to some of the calls, Chris. Let's get to Kenny in Jersey. Kenny, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Welcome back, man. What's up, Canty?
What's up, Kenny?
What you got for us?
Now, look, I don't understand how Dave can come back from vacation, give all these adjectives about the Mets. I can see how horrible they are. Everybody can see these things except the owner. And we got all excited about this billionaire owner coming in, you know, getting rid of the Will Ponds. And it's pretty much the same thing. Nothing has changed. I mean, the Mets was playing decent in a terrible division. And that's the only reason that, you know, we even in it right now. That team is a disaster. It's just the fact that we're not a bigger disaster as Philly or Atlanta right now. That's all
I don't know.
It is,
Kenny, that you don't think they're as big a disaster as Philadelphia right now? It feels to me like they might be a bigger disaster than what the Phillies are at the moment. You know?
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Dave.
You got major?
I'm with you.
Right now,
I'm
where did you put your money on the Phillies or on the Mets to win this division?
I would probably put my money on the Phillies. I would. I mean, I just – it's the Mets right now scare me, Dave. It's just the strength of the team hasn't been performing up to expectations, and then the part of the team that you would look to try to buoy him has underwhelmed all season long. Like, I mean, unless the offense snaps out of it, Dave, I don't think the Mets are going to be able to pull out of this nosedive.
No, and here's the thing, okay? You go through the lineup. Nimmo, I think, has been better than advertised, right? Better than we expected, but he's been hurt for a lot of the season.
He's been out of
Alonso
for a long
has
time.
Been – like, this is what we expected, right? 257, 23 home run. Like, Alonso is exactly what you kind of would expected from him. But if you go through the rest of the lineup, I don't think McNeil's been as good as I anticipated.
No.
Lindor, I'm sorry, great defensively, team leader, all that kind of stuff, has not been as good as we expected. Dom Smith has fallen short. J.D. Davis was out for a lot of the season. McCann has not been what we anticipated. So I don't know that you've gotten what you thought you were going to get from a lot of these guys offensively, Chris. I really don't.
No, but the thing that we heard from them in the first half, Dave, is that we don't have all our guys in the lineup. It's we got to get everybody back, and then we'll see where we're at. We should be able to start producing from that point on. Well, I mean, essentially you're there, and Francisco Lindor will be back sooner rather than later. So, I mean, it feels like they're running out of excuses as to why they can't find a way to score runs. And, Dave, you asked me about the confidence level with both teams and who's going to make the playoffs. Right now, Baseball Reference gives the Phillies a 37% chance of making the postseason. Care to take a guess at what the Mets are at right now?
All right. So, obviously, that's going to all come from winning the division. Phillies are 37%. Braves have to get, I don't know, 20. I'll say the Mets are at 38%.
No. 24%. The Braves are at 36%. The Phillies are at 37%, and the Mets are at 24%.
Wow. So the Mets are considered the third favorite to let's say win the division, because you're not going to win a wild card, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what we're talking about. Yeah.
So the Mets are the third favorite of these three teams. Chris, I mean, it's completely falling apart before our eyes.
It is, Dave. It is. And I don't know that there's anything that Rojas can really do about it at this point. I don't. I mean, we'll see if they can snap out of it. But, I mean, Dave, if you can't win a series against the Marlins when you have a razor-thin margin, a razor-thin lead in your division, knowing that you got a three-game set with the Phillies after this series, I don't know. I don't know when you have that urgency to be able to turn this thing on. I don't know when it's going to happen. If it's not happening now, I don't know when it happens.
And it's not even like you went up against their aces. Like, the Yankees saw Rodgers. The Yankees saw Alcantara. Like, the Yankees saw those guys, and he was terrific on Sunday. You're seeing the second tier of Marlins pitchers, and they traded their closer. I don't know. I'm just can feel it falling apart, and I'm frustrated by it, and I think most Mets fans feel that way on this Wednesday morning. 800-919-3776. So RJ put in the rundown, and I have to run it by you. He said stump Rothenberg with a question mark. What are you thinking? Have you guys been every day doing the little bits that we do?
Oh, no, we're doing the segment, Dave. I mean, we had stump with shoes in last Wednesday.
How did that
go? I'm not mistaken. I mean, you know, it's not stump Rothenberg, but I mean, Bob held it down for you. You did an admirable job. You know, it's Bob with Schusen.
So yesterday was CMT, and tomorrow's going to be observations, and did it happen in Florida?
So
all that
on
kind
and
of
so
stuff.
Forth. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. And RJ has kind of picked up the slack when it comes to the segments that Rick does, CMT, you know, DHIF, all of that stuff, et cetera. So, but no, we're absolutely doing Stump Rothenberg today. We got to have it. And I actually have a Stump Rothenberg question.
I love it. Yeah. By the way, what's this about? Pedro Hernandez tweets in, don't forget to mention that Bob said you were the class of DCR. Bob said,
why can't Pedro just let us live, man? Why Pedro want to bring up old stuff? Bob did say that, though. He did call me the class of DCR.
Okay, we're going to do everything with class.
I don't think that he's wrong. Do you think he said that because, you know, it was the two of you?
I think he said it because it was the two of us, and he wanted to take a shot at you and Rick. Mm-hmm. I think that's what happened. So.
All right.
I mean, you could take that up with Bob.
It's not your fault.
The guys that we've had filling in for you, just hosting the show, driving the show, they've all taken turns taking shots at you guys. Just saying. It's out there.
I feel hurt. I feel greatly, greatly hurt.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Let's get to Mike in Manhattan and say good morning to Mike. Mike, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know I love the show, and no matter how good the people are that fill in, no disrespect to them, it's just not as good as you guys. I'm happy you're back, and I hope that you guys had a good vacation.
Thank you. Well, it's just me that's back. Rick will be back next week. And there's some news about next week's show, but continue along, Mike.
So, you know,
I'm a big Islander fan, obviously. You guys know that. And I got let down this year. But every year, the Mets, they let me down. It's either the best team in April, the best team through May. And whatever happens when August hits, the team just implodes on itself every year. And I don't understand why.
You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't understand how this team and they struggled mightily against the Reds. They were very lucky to not be swept in that series. It took a big comeback, a monumental comeback on Saturday night to come back and win that game. I, Chris, I don't have the answer. I don't understand why this lineup is not more productive. I do not understand why Michael Conforto is hitting 197. I mean, for the life of me, I don't understand why they are where they are right now.
Yeah, Dave, it doesn't add up. I mean, they absolutely should be more productive when you look at some of the names. But, I mean, you talked about the guys that haven't produced up to expectations. And, I mean, until that happens, I mean, this team is going to struggle, especially the state of your starting pitching and knowing that you've got some guys that are dealing with some things. I mean, it's just – This is not the formula for the Mets to be able to kind of take control of this division in the second half. It just kind of left the door open for the Phillies and the Braves, and you're just hoping that those teams kind of flounder as well, because right now you don't have any confidence that the Mets are going to get right. They haven't shown you anything in the second half that would lead you to believe that this team is going to turn it on.
No, and who's the guy now that you rely on? Like, is there a guy that takes the mound every fifth day that you say to yourself, okay, whew, I know I'm going to get seven innings of two-run ball? No. I mean, I would even ask you this. Who's the one guy that you have the most confidence in every fifth day who's going to get the ball, Chris?
That's a great question. That's a great question, Dave. Dave, to be honest with you, that guy was Tyler McGill until that last start. I mean, I guess you'd have to say Marcus Stroman, but, I mean, his last start wasn't great. I mean, so I don't know. I don't know. There isn't a whole lot of confidence in this starting rotation, and that's a problem because that's how this team was built. That's supposed to be the strength, and it hasn't been. And so, I mean, unless they can get right or the offense gets right, like, this team is on borrowed time as far as being at the top of the NL East.
Really, no.
I hate to frame it that way, but that's
no.
That's,
I know
it feels this, like this that's the reality of where the Mets are at.
This would be disastrous if they don't win this, because this division is putrid. It really is. If they don't win this division, it would be an embarrassment. And you know who's beginning? And I know you know because I said it to you before the show. Who's starting to annoy me is the owner.
He can't tweet out what he tweeted out last night, Dave.
So let me read the tweet. He says, "Keep me up on the game." This is from 9 hours ago. So, I don't know, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock last night. "Keep me up on the game. I'm out to dinner with Sophie Rose Cohen," which I imagine is his, I don't even know, is his daughter? Yeah, I think so. "Game doesn't look good from a distance. We have to get our act together soon." I don't know if you feel like this, and correct me if I'm wrong. It feels like he's trolling the Mets fan base.
You know what, Dave? That's what he's doing. I don't think that's his intent. But he just lacks the level of awareness that you would expect an owner to have. I mean, and then that last part, I mean, it doesn't look good from a distance. Well, I mean, you're the one that's right in the middle of it. You're the one that's writing the checks. You're the one that was in on the meetings on what the team's plan was, strategy was at the trade deadline. I mean, you should know based on how the starting pitching started off the second half and dealing with all the injuries that you had and the question marks, that you probably needed to fortify that area of your team, knowing that your offense was struggling, but you didn't. I mean, I that's the part that would drive me up a wall if I was a Mets fan. And, I mean, you're right, Dave, to be livid about Steve Cohen going on social media and saying some of the things that he's saying, because absolutely ridiculous.
You know what it feels like to me? And I don't know if this is the case or not. It feels like to me this is just a hot – like, this is a fun hobby. This is a side thing for me. And all you that live and die with this team, like, oh, I'm out to dinner. Game doesn't look good to me, but don't worry, I'm going to be fine. And maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know. I just every time he does this, and I said it months ago when the Mets were winning and had a comfortable lead, I said, there's going to be a day where Mets fans have had enough of this guy and his snarky ways, And I for me, I'm there. You're hemorrhaging.
Already there? We're not even through year one. You're already there?
Well, no. I'm not. I don't think he's a bad owner. I just stop. Stop when. I mean, the team is playing horrendous baseball. You get beaten up at home by the Reds. You're getting embarrassed on the road by Miami, and you're making fun of it or mocking it? I mean, does he not understand that people, right or wrong, Chris, people love sports and love their teams and literally live and die with their teams, and it affects their day in, day out life. And you're tweeting saying that, well, that's just not how it is for you.
Yeah, that's the thing. It just doesn't feel as passionate as most of the fan base. And that's why everybody was excited when Steve Cohen took over the team. It's because he's got deep pockets, but he's also a lifelong Mets fan, so you want him to share in your frustrations for where the team is at. But it doesn't feel like he's doing that with that tweet that he put out there. Like, it doesn't look good from a distance. I don't know any Mets fan that would say that about last night's game. Like, you're frustrated about what's going on, and you want the owner's commentary to reflect that, and that's certainly not what he put out on Twitter last night.
Right, just say nothing, or just, you know, like, be serious about it. It feels like you're trolling, and why would he troll the fan base that is so loyal, so passionate, and cares so much?
Dave, I don't think he is, though. I don't think he's trying to troll the fan base. So
agree that it feels troll-like, don't you?
No, I agree with you on that point of it, but I don't think that's what he was trying to do. I think that he was, you know, looking at the game and realizing what's happened, knowing that it's the Miami Marlins, a team that you guys should beat, and he's putting out there that, you know, we've got to figure it out, we've got to get our act together soon. But I don't think his intent was to troll the fan base, but what he didn't realize is that you're not aware of how the fan base feels about where the team is at right now. And it's clear through the comments that you made. So I don't know, man. I don't know what you're going to do about that. I don't know that any kind of criticism is going to stop Steve Cohen from having Twitter fingers. It's clear that he wants to be out there now that he's the owner of the team. But, I mean, it can't feel good if you're a Mets fan, both what you're seeing on the field and what the owner's talking about.
Listen, I don't think the Yankees are the perfect model for everything. But they had needs. And at the trade deadline, they went out and they addressed those needs, right? Mm-hmm. We need left-handed power. They go out, they get left-handed power, right? They get Rizzo, they get Gallo. They improve their team. They thought they improved their team with the starting pitching as well, and I don't know if that's the case with Heaney. But regardless, the Yankees went out.
That didn't look great.
No, he looked terrible. The Yankees went out and improved their team, and somehow didn't bring money into the mix. Not easy for me to say either. And the Mets had great needs and didn't address them. And the Steinbrenners would never do stuff like tweet this kind of stuff or make remarks like this. I don't know. I'm frustrated by it. I'd be better is what I would say.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't think he can, Dave. I don't think he can help himself. Like, this is something that you're going to have to live with as a Mets fan. But the hope would be that the spending that Steve Cohen does, the investments that he makes in the team, and, you know, the team actually doing some winning, I think that's going to be what allows you to look past, you know, some of his antics on social media, or at least that's what you have to hope.
Yeah, but I felt so confident that we would get to the trade deadline, Chris, and they would have added two starters, and they'd add another piece to the bullpen, and he blew past the luxury tax, and, you know, all these things you were worried about for years with the Wilpons were no longer issues. And I like Javi Baez, and I like Rich Hill.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, my big piece to a pitching staff, which may not have the best pitcher in the world right now, is a 41-year-old that on a good day is going to give you five innings? Really?
Yeah, that's not what you want. I mean, listen, and the fact that you knew Jacob DeGrom had the injury, Tyler McGill is a young guy. I mean, you can't really rely on him to eat up a bunch of innings down the stretch. I mean, Cookie Carrasco, you don't know what you're going to get from him in the second half when he does come back from injury. Like, all of these things should have factored into the decision that they made at the trade deadline, and I'm with you. They should have added another arm to that starting rotation and added another arm to that bullpen. I felt like there was more for them to do. I was on board with the Javi Baez move. I know some people weren't, but I liked the move. But I felt like the pitching staff had to be addressed, and they didn't do it in a meaningful way. Again, Rich Hill is fine, but, I mean, you saw what Taijuan Walker was doing in the second half. You don't know if you're going to see Noah Syndergaard at all this second half. So, I mean, it just felt like there were there were enough reasons, there were enough things to point to say, you know what, we probably need to bring in an insurance arm in the rotation, and we probably need to bring in another arm in the bullpen, and they didn't do it. And now it feels like they're up against it because they're losing a lot of games, and then you're talking about those other teams kind of clipping at your heels in the NL East. So whatever fate the Mets land in, they deserve it.
We don't know what's going to happen. You're right. We don't know what's going to happen with Trevor Bauer. We have no idea. And what did the Dodgers do? They went out and they got
Max Scherzer.
Max Scherzer they go out and get. Blue Jays, they're right there. Listen, the Mets are in a better position than the Blue Jays. Blue Jays sense that they have a real chance. They go out there and get a stud in Barrios. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, which one doesn't belong and why, right? Max Scherzer, Barrios, and Rich Hill? Which guy doesn't belong of those three? I think it's pretty obvious.
It's obvious, Dave, but it felt so obvious that the Mets should address that part of their team, and the fact that they didn't do it, I don't know. It makes me feel like they know something that we don't know, but the results that we're seeing from the team is just like, it kind of reiterates the fact that they should have went out there and made a move because your starting pitching is continuing to struggle. And there is no relief in sight. Now, we'll see what Cookie Carrasco gives you tonight, and hopefully he can build on what he did on Friday. But, I mean, there's no guarantee in what you're going to get from him. There isn't.
No.
And so I just felt like the uncertainty of all of it should have moved them to make a more significant move.
You know,
and the fact that they didn't has got to be frustrating.
Can you go out there and jump on someone for once? When was the last time the Mets went out there and put up like 5 runs in the first 3 innings and led 5-1? I couldn't even tell you the last time that happened. It's you're down 4-0, you're down 4-0, you scrap, you fight, you get close, you can't score a lot of runs, or Saturday against the Reds, you have this comeback, right? But go out there and just have a laugher. Go out there like the Yankees did last night and win a game. And the Mets, I don't know if they just can't do that or they're not capable of doing that or what the case is, but go out there and get that done at some point in the next couple days. Let's go to Joe in Brooklyn. Good morning, Joe. You're on with Dave and Chris on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Dave. Dave, I think you're taking the owner's tweet the wrong way, bro.
All right, tell me.
Because he's not talking to the fans at that point. What he's saying is that it doesn't look good from here. Like, he's talking to his ownership. He's talking to his management group. He's like, yo, you guys better fix it or else I'm going to get involved. I don't think you would want an owner to give an opinion.
Why does he need to tweet that? Why does he need to tweet that? I'm confused by this. Why couldn't he call up the GM? Why couldn't he call up his management staff and speak to them? Why does that need to be a tweet that I have to see?
Why do we not like Mueller so much when he was too involved with the GM? We want him to cough off the checks, but we want him away from the operation, and he's saying don't. He's looking at the results. He's like, it doesn't look good from here. That's him sending a little shot at his management, not to the fans.
So. I don't agree. Well, you know what? Then
Joe is giving an awful lot of credit to Steve Cohen.
Call Zach Scott. Why do I have to see it?
No, it doesn't make sense, Dave. What Joe is suggesting doesn't even make sense. Like, I mean, if Steve Cohen has a real big issue with Zach Scott or the front office personnel, then, I mean, he's absolutely going to communicate that. And that's not something that you want to put on front street on social media.
No.
That's something that you discuss internally. But, I mean, the fact that he put it on social media, that's something that he wants the fan base to see. And I think that he wants the fan base to feel like he's in it with them. But, I mean, this kind of tweet – just the tone of it, I think, turns a lot of fans, you included, off. And I understand it. I get it. Game doesn't look good from a distance. What Met fan wants to hear that? What Met fan feels that way? All the Mets fans feel like they're in it. You know, to say that you're looking at it from a distance, that's a complete lack of awareness, Dave. And I think that's what it is. I don't think he's trolling the fan base intentionally.
But it felt like that to me for a while, that he had a lack of awareness. But it was like, all right, you're up by 6 games and you're rolling along and things are good. You know what? It's fine. It doesn't matter. But now that you feel it crumbling away, Chris, and he continues to do it, I don't like it. I'm telling you. And I don't think I'm alone here. I do not like it.
No, I mean, I understand why you wouldn't like it, Dave, but the question is, how do they get it fixed? I mean, we can talk about all the things that they should have done. We can talk about the struggles that they've had with the starting pitching, but how does it get fixed is the biggest question, because if they can't figure that out moving forward, then they're not going to make the playoffs. And it would be a shame to waste the season that you had from Jacob DeGrom and from some of the guys in your rotation. It'd be a shame to waste this kind of season, especially seeing how some of the other teams in your division are struggling. It feels like it's the opportune time for the Mets to get back to the playoffs, and they're just squandering it.
This is the NFC East of Major
League
Baseball.
That's what it is. Yep.
This is the NFC East of Major League Baseball, and all you have to do is really win, you know, go 7-9, and you're going to win the division. And right now, you just read it, right? The statistics that they are third in line to win this division.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.